Today is the birthday of the church. Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. You want to know where the church was founded? Where did we begin? Not this church, you know, we're 124. I'm talking about the church universal. Started on Pentecost. And we want to, if you want to know what the church should be like, you should read Acts chapter 2. So let's read a few verses in Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, likened as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. We'll talk about Pentecostal power. Pentecostal power. I don't know about you, but I want power. Every now and then, you really have to look at yourself in whatever job you're doing. And so, as pastors, I look out over this congregation and I see the empty seats. I know that I need power. I need something that I don't have. It's not just your education. It's not, you know, just the programs, it's not just the bulletins, it's not just, you know, those are kind of Pentecostal substitutes. Look at somebody and say, I need the real thing. I need power. And I just feel that on this Pentecost Sunday, when we're dressed in our red and the pulpit is dressed in red and, you know, the wind is blowing and the fire's in the house, we're not here just going through, look at somebody and say, it's time out for just going through the motions. We need power. Power, I believe that God's got the power. I believe that God is up to something. I believe that discouraged people can be cheered up. That dishonest people can fess up. That sour folk can sweeten up. That closed folk can open up. And gossipers can shut up. And conflicted folk can make up. And sleeping folk can wake up. And lukewarm folk can fire up. And dry bone folk can shake up. And pew potatoes can stand up. But most of all, Christ, the Savior of the world, will be lifted up. Hallelujah. It's Pentecost Sunday. I believe God is up to something in our lives, that God can not only save us, but God can change us. It's Pentecost Sunday. Everybody, you know, preachers, I don't care what y'all, every now and then, you got to look at yourself and try to figure out what's missing in your life. And you got to pray a prayer, Lord, blow on me. Lord, fire me up. Lord, give me not only what I need, but what your people need. Here we are. Most of us, I was reading this about most church folk and churches live somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. Everybody wants the pardon of Calvary. We just don't seek after the power of Pentecost. How many of you need forgiveness? How many of you know that Calvary really is about pardon? That we've messed up big time, that we've fallen short, and we make our way to Calvary so that the wind of forgiveness can blow on our life. Anybody need forgiveness in here? Anybody feel a little better once you know that you've been forgiven in your life and you have a second chance in your life? But you, forgiveness is one thing, but if you want to live strong, you've got to have power. If you don't want to do the same thing over again, you got to have power. Do I have a witness? You can read all the self-help books in the world. Just 10 easy steps to live holy. You can't do. You got to position. You got to surrender. Look at somebody and say, you got to surrender. You got to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and say, come on. When they sing that song, come on in the room. They're not talking about come on in this room. They're talking about come on in here. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Come into my life. Take residence on the inside that I might live holy, that I might be strong. Somewhere we live somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. Bethlehem suggests that God is with us. Calvary suggests that God is for us. But Pentecost says God is in us. Thanks. Look at somebody and say, Jackson, you preaching, boy. You preaching, Jackson. I need the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I don't need the Holy Spirit to vacation in me. I need the Holy Spirit alive and at work in me 24/7. When I go to bed at night, I need the Holy. When I wake up in the morning, I need the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of me. I need power. I don't need seminary power. I need Holy Ghost power. I don't need educated power. I need Holy Ghost power. I need divine. I want God to show up in my life. I want God to show up in your. I don't want to be pretending. I want to be real for God. Oh, you know, some people think that God only showed up in the Bible. I mean, if he was healing back there, I just believe he can heal today. If he was transforming people, if he was giving courage to people back there, I believe he can give courage to people today. I just believe that what he said he would do, he could do. But I believe the first thing we got to do is we got to seek him. He's not going to come into the room if you don't want him in the room. You got to open the door. Do I have a witness in the house? So that he will come in. And when he comes in, he got to take over. You got to surrender to him. You got to let him have his way. Too many of us, we don't mind if Jesus visits, particularly when we're in trouble. But we don't want him to take residence. Do I have a witness in here? When he takes residence, that means that he's sovereign. That means you and I, we're not sovereign no more. That means you can't cuss folk out if you want to. That means you got the power to shut up. That means you got the power to make right decisions. That means you got the power to live holy. When the Holy Ghost takes over. I read the story about these surveyors. They were up in some mountain, some way surveying. They were making maps of the land. They would go up all day and they'd be drawing their maps and making. Then they would come back at night to camp. When they came back to camp, there was an old shepherd there. The shepherd came every night and said they would sit around and tell stories about the camp and tell stories about the day. And then the old shepherd says, well, tomorrow when you go out into the mountains, I'm going to go with you. But they said, well, why you want to go? You know, we got a map now. We've been going up there for weeks. We got the land mapped. We don't need you to go. He says, no. Tomorrow, when you go up in the mountains, I'm going with you. I need to go with you because if I don't go with you, you're going to get lost. And then they got an attitude. What do you mean, you know, we've been going up in these mountains now for the last 6 months. We've been, you know, we got it mapped out. We know these mountains. The old shepherd said, listen. I know these mountains like the back of my hand. But they said, no, we don't want you to go. They said, oh. So they left and went on up into the mountains. But the next day, a fog came. And so they're out there. They had the map, but they couldn't navigate in a fog. Life, you're going to run into some fogs. You can't navigate. I know you're smart. I know you got your education. I know you know your job. I know you think you know what you're supposed to do. But when the fog sets in, how many know you need the Holy Spirit to guide you and to comfort you and to bring you back to your right mind? You can get lost out there in the world. You and I need a guide and a comforter to walk with us and to talk with us. And that is the presence and the power of God at work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Do I have a witness in the house? Come on in the room. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Come into my mind and guide my tongue and guide my behavior. Come into my life. I read another story about these little kids. We're in Sunday school, Carol. Let's say Carol was teaching the class, and she was teaching them the Apostles' Creed. First little kids, and they had one line apiece on the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. That little boy, he started out, wonderful Johnny. Oh, great, great, great. Next one said, I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Oh, great, great, great. That probably was Mary, you know, little girl. And comes to the third part, the silence. Embarrassing. First one, it said, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Second one, it said, I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Third part, just like this. Nobody said a word. Finally, the little girl said, Teacher, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent. Unfortunately, that's the state of the church today. The man or the woman, the boy and the girl who believes in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Too often, we are absent in church. We don't believe in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit anymore. We think that the Holy Spirit is that you just got to get up and you got to be hollering and screaming and running and foaming out the mouth and talking in tongues. That may be, but the Holy Spirit is a power and a presence to live in this mean and unfriendly world. When the devil tries to take you out, you have a power that God says, not so, not yet. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care if you lost your job. There's a power at work in this world that says, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. You gotta believe it. You gotta trust God. And when you trust God, it might make you run. It might make you shout. When you think about what could have been, look at somebody and say, I ain't playing no more. I know the Lord will make a way. I know He's a healer. I know He's a provider. I know He will keep me. It's not what my mother said. I've lived a little while now. I know He's a good guy. Pentecostal power. I don't know about you, but I want power. You know, these disciples, they went in, they waited for 50 days. They're sitting up in an upper room. Not only the disciples, because we get this mixed up, because there were 120 of them, men and women, sitting up in an upper room waiting on the Lord. And then the word says, sudden, the wind blew. Sudden. How many of you know you don't know when the Lord's going to blow your way? You don't know when the fire's going to break out. Look at somebody and say, I'm open, Lord. I'm open for the wind. I'm open for the fire. I'm open for you to do something in my life. I may not like it, but I'm open for, I want some power in my life. I'm tired of this fake power. I want some power. So they're sitting up in the room. And I like the fact that when the power came, it didn't just fall on Peter. The text says what? It fell on everybody. Oh. First of all, can you imagine if we could get every member of Mount Olive to show up on the same day, and then everybody, once they show up, be on one accord? Look at somebody and say, that's power. Oh, that's power. If we had all of our members to show up and we all was on one, look, we can't even get husband and wife to be on one accord. We can't even get the whole family to be on one accord. We can't even get our dogs to cooperate. But if everybody, let me use our braggadocio number. You know how in churches, you know, we have, how many members you got? Depends on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to y'all, we probably have about 8 or 900 to show. But if I'm out there in the world, well, I said, forgive me, Lord. If I'm out there in the world, Deacon S. Douglas, I said, well, we are down from 2,000 and we're about 1,200. Stretch me, Lord. But if I could get all 800 in here one time, if I could get all 1,000 in here one, and we were on one accord, well, what would we be seeking? Lord, I'm not seeking a house. I'm not seeking a mate. I'm not seeking to hit the lottery. I just want your Holy Ghost. I just want some power. I just want you to fill me. I just want you to change me. I just want you to heal me. I'm open to the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit says, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me one more time. Break me, mold me, shape me, develop me, and send me. Spirit. Now you have your pick. It could be the 800 crowd, be the 1,200 crowd. Heck, I'll settle if we can have 600 all in one time. And we're all in one accord. People come to church, you know. They're looking for all kinds of stuff. But what we ought to, the Bible says, what? Seek ye first. I ain't making this up. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. It doesn't say you can't seek other stuff. But look at somebody and say, get the first things first. Keep the first thing first. And the first thing is seek ye the kingdom of God. And all other things
will be added.
Will be added.
That's Bible.
Pentecostal power. It's more than a red dress and a red hat and red socks, red shoes and red suit. It's more than that. I need some power. Now, I know you got to have some nerve to wear red socks and red shoes, but I want some power. I need some power. Power to live. Power. I need somebody to really believe that he's a healer. I need somebody to really believe he can make your enemies your footstool. I need somebody to really believe he's Lord of Lord and King of King. I need somebody to really believe he can transform you. I need somebody to believe there's life after salvation. And after salvation comes transformation. But if you want the Spirit, you got to seek him. And when you seek him, you've got to surrender. And you can't be absent when it comes to the third part of the Apostle Creed.